Good morning. If your Bibles are still open, good. If not, could you turn to that 16th chapter in Luke's Gospel? I just want to take one verse from the verses that we read. I'd like to consider with you this morning the subject of loyalty, or in the language of Scripture, faithfulness. Faithfulness in the sense of being committed to someone or to something. This is a topic that we could spend all day on. We could cover many aspects of life. There's loyalty in marriage. There's loyalty in family. There's loyalty in the assembly. There's loyalty on the job. There's loyalty to the country. We live in a day and age where there's been a renewed interest in nationalism and patriotism. But what I would like to do is go back to the first thing that you and I should be loyal to. And consider today how we can foster in ourselves this loyalty. We live in a day and age where loyalty and faithfulness and commitment are characteristics that are not only rare, but they're trivial. In the business world, you buy someone's loyalty. If you're willing to pay the price, you can get somebody to work for you. Until someone comes along that is willing to pay more of a price. And then they have that loyalty. When we were kids, if you played for a baseball team, you played from the time you started until the time you retired. That was your team. Now you play for who pays the most. Loyalty in this day and age is not something that is really seen as necessary. Jesus makes a comment on loyalty. Is unjust also in much. What the Lord is saying here is that loyalty is something that we can nurture. Faithfulness is something, is a characteristic that can grow. If we can't be faithful in something that is small, we can't be faithful in anything. That we follow those examples. For the first example, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall choose." In the hour of David's rejection, His servants were ready to do whatever the king chose. Loyalty is made manifest in our service. Our loyalty, either to the Lord Jesus Christ or to anything else in life, is revealed by our service. We meet an interesting man here. Down in verse 19, Ittai the Gittite was one of those men that came with David, we read in verse 18, from Gath. David was, that goes back to the time when David wasn't even king yet. And he was fleeing from Saul, and he went over to the Philistines, and he asked the king to give him a city where he could live while Saul continued his reign. And they gave him Ziklag, a city where David lived for quite a number of years, actually until Saul was killed in battle by the Philistines. And when Saul was killed in battle and David came to claim the throne, a number of people, we read in verse 18, came from Gath with David. But they weren't Israelites. They were foreigners. And they lived in the land of Israel as exiles from their own country. And Ittai was one of those men. And David says to him as they're fleeing the city, he says, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whether I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with you." Ittai was going to go with David as he fled Jerusalem. And David says, "Why? You're not even an Israelite. You're not even one of my brethren. You're here in exile. Stay here. Be loyal to the next king. Remain here." He says, "We don't even know where we're going. We don't even know how long we'll be away or what's going to happen to us. Why put yourself in the middle of this?" Ittai says to David in verse 21, "As the Lord Jehovah liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." Ittai's loyalty as a servant to David was seen by his desire to serve him in death or in life. Ittai said he didn't care who was on the throne. His allegiance was to David. And he was going to go wherever David went. We are not of the nation of Israel. Actually, we're living in a land as strangers. Where's our allegiance? Where is our loyalty? Is our loyalty revealed by our service? The one that we serve, that's the one we are loyal to. Loyalty is revealed by service. Turn over to chapter 18. A little later on, David is prepared now to go and fight Absalom. And he divides the people into three groups. And he says in towards the end of verse 2, "And the king said unto the people, I will surely go forth with you myself also. But the people answered, Thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us." True loyalty is revealed in our worship. The one that we worship reveals the one to whom we are loyal. The question is, what or whom do we worship? The book of Ruth and the first chapter. Very familiar story. In verse 8, we read, "Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return, each to her mother's house. Jehovah deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? And are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of Jehovah is gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor turn from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Ruth revealed her loyalty in her total devotedness to Naomi. She was willing to leave her country. She was willing to leave her family. She was willing to leave all that she had grown up with to follow after Naomi. Our loyalty is seen in the things to which we are devoted. It's a searching question. We sit down and ask ourselves, what things are we devoted to? Is the Lord Jesus Christ the one that we would say we would leave our people for? The one that we would leave our gods for? The one that we would even die for? Our devotedness reveals our loyalty. 2 Samuel chapter 23. In the last words of David, he recounts those that were loyal to him. He mentions here in the 23rd chapter the men that through his life had revealed in their service, in their worship, in their devotedness, their loyalty to him. A very familiar story is recorded here. The three mighty men of David. Verse 13. The three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then and in hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the well of the water of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Their loyalty to David was revealed by the fact that they were willing to risk their lives for David. They did not consider the value of their own lives. They considered the desire of their king. Loyalty was such that they were willing to die for their king. We've seen that in our midweek study. This week we started to look at Stephen in Acts chapter 6. It says twice of Stephen that he was full of faith. He was full of faith. Faithfulness that was revealed in the fact that Stephen was willing to die for his Lord. We mentioned on Wednesday that death did not make a martyr. It just revealed it. It reveals a martyr. The character of a man's life is revealed by the death of a martyr. But Stephen lived a life of faithfulness to his Lord. It was seen in all that he did. It was known by those that knew him. Where's our loyalty this morning? Does our worship, does our service, does our devotedness reveal our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it known by all those around us that we are loyal to Him? Or are there other things in our lives that we are more loyal to? The examples we've read show us people in time past that have been totally devoted to their King, to the one to whom their love and loyalty and allegiance were given. How do we foster in our own lives that loyalty? How do we develop within ourselves loyalty for the Lord Jesus Christ like these people showed in days gone by? Turn over to the second book of Kings. Second book of Kings in chapter 11. This was a rather dark time in Israel's history. Ahab had been ruling for many years in Israel. And when he died, his son, which was not much better, took over for him. Ahaziah was the king in Judah. And Jehu comes to be king in Israel. When Jehu comes to be king in Israel, he kills first Joram. And then at the same time, he kills Ahaziah, the king of Judah. And we pick up the story in chapter 11. In Judah, after Ahaziah had died, instead of one of his sons becoming king, his mother takes over the throne. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheab, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord, 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds, with the captains and the guard, and brought them to him in the house of the Lord, and made a covenant with them, and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord, and showed them the king's son. Jehoiada, the high priest, fostered loyalty amongst the people by showing them the king. The temple that Solomon had built, the central part was the house of the Lord, the temple that replaced the tabernacle. But around the outside on 3 sides were chambers, little rooms, three floors on top of each other. And in one of those little chambers, Jehoiada had hidden Joash. It was a time when there was a false queen on the throne. It was a time in Israel's history when someone was ruling that shouldn't have been ruling. But for the most part, the people were going along with her. And Jehoiada, the high priest, he brought the people in little groups into that upper room and showed them the king. By doing that, fostered a loyalty amongst the people for the true king. In the headlines today, there's much being said about the Pope's visit to the United States. And the news interviews people across the country that have had an audience with the Pope. They're considered to be rather special and privileged people because they have had an audience with the Pope. The Pope is in the United States trying to build up the loyalty amongst the Catholic people to the Catholic Church. And what he's trying to do is to foster that loyalty by having audiences with the people. You and I have a privilege. Lord's Day after Lord's Day, to gather in a little upper room and have an audience with the King. We can gather around two emblems that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can meet in His very presence. And we can have an audience with the true King. He instituted that feast because he knew the importance it was for us to have audiences with the King. How important it was for us to have our loyalty strengthened by being able to see the King. And Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we have the privilege, through the eye of faith, to see the King. The true King. He's not on the throne of this world now. There's a false king ruling. But we have the privilege of showing our allegiance, showing our steadfast allegiance, our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship and our service and our devotedness. But in a world that honors the false king, this is something that is very difficult. It is hard to maintain an allegiance to someone you cannot see. It is hard to maintain an allegiance to someone who is not on the throne. It is hard to maintain an allegiance to one who is rejected. And so we need our weekly audiences with the King. 1 hour a week. 1 hour in 7 days. To spend in His presence. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. In each one of the examples that we looked at, loyalty had a price tag. Loyalty cost something. But each one of those examples that we looked at, they were willing to pay the price. He that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And so He calls us to gather around Himself, to see Him as the very Creator of heaven and earth that was willing to take on Himself the form of a man. The one who came to this earth as a man, very God Himself. We're able to see Him in that audience on Sunday morning. We're able to see Him as the one who lived on this earth for 33 years, a sinless life. Not one flaw. Not one fault. Sinless. We're able to see Him in the broken bread, the outpoured wine, as a suffering Savior. The one whose body was broken for me. The one whose blood was shed for me. But we're also able to see Him as a victorious Lord, conqueror over sin and death and hell and the grave. We're able to see Him through the eye of faith, sitting now at His Father's right hand, highly exalted, prepared to one day take His rightful place in this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Week after week, we have the privilege of fostering our loyalty to a King that is now rejected, but one day soon will take His throne. The question is, do we see how vitally important that audience with the King is? Do we see how much we need these weekly audiences with the King? And finally, are we taking advantage of these weekly audiences with the King? The time where we can gather in the upper room of the Lord's house and see the true King. The false King is on the throne. The false King rules and the world around us. And most of that world is loyal to that King. The question is, in what camp is our loyalty? Can the world around us see that our allegiance, our steadfast allegiance, is to the Lord Jesus Christ in our service? Can they see our steadfast allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ in our worship? Can they see our steadfast allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ in our devotedness to Him? It might be that we would ask, what demands such loyalty? Why do we have to be so totally committed to Him? Wouldn't the answer to that question be His loyalty to us? He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is not ashamed to call us brethren, having loved His own. He loved them unto the end. Doesn't His loyalty to you and to me stir our hearts with a desire to be loyal to Him in return?